Hey, we're in 1 John. It's been a few weeks. What a great time celebrating Easter together, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Ah, it's beautiful. He's our everything, and the resurrection means everything to us. Everything. It's where our power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is at work in you. Hallelujah. God is good. All right, so we're in 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to take a look at verses 1 through 6 this morning. Verses 1 through 6. And it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." There is a devil, and he's real. He's very cunning. He's the most cunning of all, right? We see that in Genesis as he comes as a serpent to Eve, and he cunningly lies to Eve and entices her with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all these things that are of the world. And she gives in and she eats of the fruit, and then she offers it to her husband, her soulmate, Adam. And he, not being deceived, partakes of the fruit anyway. And so Satan, being cunning, gets to Adam through Eve and deceives Eve, because he's a liar, and he's a subtle liar. He's really good at lying. He's good at taking the truth and twisting it and bending it. He's good at speaking truth, 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 and then mixing it with a lie to just get us confused and distorted. And so he got to Adam. And when Adam ate the fruit, sin and death came into the world, and it was a dark day. I just now, as I said that, had this vision of bright, sunshiny day, and all of a sudden the storm clouds come in, and there's lightning and rain and wind, you know, and like Mordor, you know, from the Lord of the Rings. It just, this darkness came upon humanity in that day. And so Satan is real. I was listening to a message the other day, and the pastor was talking about this interaction where he, you know, someone said, "Oh, you believe in the devil? You know, I don't believe in the devil because I never run into him." And the pastor said, "Well, maybe it's because you're going in the same direction. If you go the opposite way, you might bump into him." You know, I love that. It's so true. You know, and so there is a devil, and there are demons who have fallen and rebelled against the Lord. We read about it in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 18, how Satan was this wonderful, beautiful angel created by God. And then he said in his heart, "I want to be like the Most High God." And he wanted God's job. And so he rebelled against the Lord and fell and condemned himself. And all those angels that went with him, they condemned themselves to eternal damnation. And so their time is short. And they have a certain end, and they know it. And the Bible teaches us that. Remember when Jesus had some interactions with demons? And in one instance, they say to him, "Have you come to torment us before our time?" They know. And they know that God has timing, and that their time is, there's an appointment for them where there will be a certain end. And so they're trying to cause as much damage as they can in the interim. And so they're lying. They're going about lying to God's people. Remember the story of Balaam? Actually, my dad taught on it last week with the donkey and how God spoke through the donkey. Well, the story of Balaam is such a sad story because, you know, Balaam, he was a prophet of God. He would hear the voice of God and then share it with others. And you remember that the Moabites wanted to curse Israel, and so they wanted to hire Balaam to curse Israel. And he said, "I can only speak what God tells me to speak." And so all that's coming out of Balaam is good things about Israel. And it just gets more and more powerful and more affectionate as he goes along, to the point where his third and final prophecy over Israel, he says, "I fell down with my eyes wide open." And he just begins to prophesy these wonderful, it's like in the movies when there's a romantic scene where they're just getting too mushy, and it's almost embarrassing, you know, when they're saying such kind, wonderful things to each other. Well, God's just gushing out love towards Israel right there as the Holy Spirit comes upon Balaam. But remember that Balaam had this thing where he wanted the reward. He wanted the money. And so what does he do? The Bible teaches us that he counseled the Moabites to encourage the Midianite women to go in amongst the children of Israel and commit sexual sin with them. And then the judgment of God will come upon them. You see how dastardly and subtle and deceiving and wicked that is? And that's the heart of Satan, you know. He wants to get at us as believers, but we're the people of God. So what does he do? He lies to us, and he tries to get us off the right path so that we'll sin, and so that we'll not have faith, and so that we'll doubt, and we won't trust the Lord. And then what will that do? It brings consequences upon us, not consequences of punishment in the way of, well, you know, you're going to suffer since you did this. Ah! But discipline. And that's what it was for Israel in the Old Testament. It was loving discipline from the Father that was brought upon them. And it's loving discipline for us, but it also impacts our effectiveness for the kingdom as we aren't listening to the truth of the Word of God. So we've got to be careful of these things. And so it says, beloved, chapter 4, verse 1, beloved. And here's the heart of John and the heart of Jesus for us. He's telling us, look, I love you. You are beloved. You're loved of the Father, and you're loved of me. And I'm telling you right now as a pastor, I love you. You're beloved. You're loved. And this is what motivates John to write what he's about to write. Because loved isn't always the good, warm, fuzzy, good feeling stuff. It's the truth. Love is the truth, whatever the truth might be. That's what love is. And the Bible says to speak the truth, but to speak it in love. And so here he is presenting truth to them because he loves them. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Test the spirits whether they are of God. Not every spirit is of God. Right? We talked about that. There's the devil, there's demons, and then there's God, and there's angels, right? And so not every spirit, not everything that someone hears is from the Lord. And so it has to be tested. The spirits that are of God are going to speak truth in love. The spirits that are not are going to be deceivers and liars and seek to get us off of the right path. There's a great example of this in the Old Testament. Lots of good examples. But we think of King Saul. You know, when we think of evil spirits in the Old Testament that are mentioned, we think of King Saul. Remember how King Saul was, he was the first king of Israel. But he had a faith lapse. And Samuel had to come to him and say, look, because of your disobedience, Saul, you've been taken out of the picture, but the Lord's going to put somebody else in who's someone after his own heart. And then Saul begins to see King David rising up, right? But during all this, Saul, it said, would get a distressing spirit. And it says, from the Lord. And we're going to talk about that in a bit here. From the Lord. And so he would get distressed, and depression and despair would come upon him. And so they would bring in King David. Well, he's not king yet, but they bring in David the shepherd boy, who would play his harp. And he would play this wonderful music before the Lord, and he would sing songs of worship, and it would bring Saul out of it. What a blessing. And it wasn't the music, and it wasn't the singing in and of itself that did it, but it was this boy who had spent time with God in the presence of the Lord, out there with the sheep, composing songs and singing worship to the Lord, being in the presence of God, and he's bringing the presence of God into that place, and it dispels the depression and the distress and that spirit of distress. And so this spirit came upon Saul from the Lord that was distressing. That was distressing. Now, let's talk about another story, and then we're going to talk about this thing that you're probably going, from the Lord. If you're like me, you read that, and it's almost like, wow, Lord, you sent a distressing spirit from yourself, you know? Doesn't make sense. But notice what it says here in 1 John chapter 4. It says, to test the spirits whether they are of God. And there's a difference between a spirit being of God and a spirit being from God. And we can see that in this story that we're going to look at now in 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings 22, like Job chapter 1, I believe it is another instance where we get a window into heaven and into angels and demons and things like that. It's another puzzle piece when you've got questions about what's going on in the heavenlies. Well, we see a little bit of what happens here. And the situation is this. We have wicked King Ahab, who is king of the northern kingdom of Israel. And you have his son-in-law, Jehoshaphat, who is king of the southern kingdom of Judah, and they're split, but they now have an alliance. Jehoshaphat's a good king. Ahab, not so much. Boo, Ahab. And they've formed this alliance, and so let's read the situation here in chapter 22. It says, now 3 years passed without war between Syria and Israel. Then it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to visit the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, do you know that Ramoth in Gilead is ours? But we hesitate to take it out of the hand of the king of Syria. So he said to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to fight at Ramoth Gilead? Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. Also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. So Jehoshaphat, and this is a whole nother sermon of bad morals, bad company corrupts good morals. Choose your friendships wisely. When you're going and you're reading about the kings of Israel, and you can see that many of them had a particular fatal flaw. And you can go, ooh, watch out for that one, watch out for that one. Well, this is Jehoshaphat. He was all in all a good king who loved the Lord, but he kept company with Ahab. And he allowed Ahab to influence him. And so anyway, but what he does want to do, because you can see his hesitation, is I'm not sure that this is of God to go and to do this thing. And so he says, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. Let's seek the heart of God. Let's not do this thing. Let's just not do what seems right in our eyes, but let's acknowledge the Lord so that our path will be straight and he will direct our paths, right? And then it says in verse 6, then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain? So they said, go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. So all these 400 prophets are saying, yes, yes, do it. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, here, that we may inquire of him? So these 400 prophets that Ahab brings together are not prophets of Yahweh, Jehovah. More than likely, they're prophets of Baal. And they are false prophets. And they are saying, yes, God says go, and you will be successful, and you will have victory. And so Jehoshaphat, having discernment in this moment, going, yeah, this isn't sitting well with me. You know, I have a relationship with Yahweh. And this is not feeling right. There's something wrong here. And perhaps these prophets, their word is not coming from God. Their word is not of God. It is not of God. And so, let's read on. It says, so he asks, is there a prophet that's right on, that really talks to God, that has a relationship with the Lord, that hears from him and speaks truth? And so the king of Israel, verse 8, said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. I wonder why. Maybe it's because when it's time to inquire of the Lord, you look to Baal instead of Yahweh, the one true God. Maybe it's because you do what you want to do. This Ahab is the same Ahab who saw a vineyard next to his palace. Oh, that's a nice vineyard. I want it. And he offered the owner, it was a Naboth. He said, hey, I'll pay you for it. No way, says Naboth. You're not going to pay me. This is my inheritance from the Lord. I'm not giving that away. And so his wife Jezebel says, why don't you just, you know, let me deal with it? And she has him murdered. And then he takes the land for himself. This is that same guy. And so, of course, he's not going to want to hear what God has to say to him. He doesn't want to hear truth. He wants to hear what he wants to hear. For the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I don't want to hear that I can't go take back this city. I want this city. And so I'm going to go take it back. And I want to hear the people who are going to tell me that that's okay and it's going to be successful. And that's what I want to hear. And we've got to be careful of this same mentality that Ahab has right now. Because our flesh is weak. And when we want something, we want to hear what we want to hear. This happens maybe most often in relationships, marriage relationships. I don't want to be together anymore. I'm tired of this, and I'm tired of this person. Okay, go seek the Lord and see what he says. Well, I want to hear what I want to hear. Is there a counselor that will counsel me that it's okay to get divorced? I'll go to that counselor. But I don't want to go to this counselor, because this counselor speaks the truth. And every time they tell me the truth, I hate them. It doesn't just apply to divorce and relationships. It can apply to anything. but we gravitate to the people who are going to tell us what we want to hear instead of telling us the truth. And that's when we have to rebuke the flesh in Jesus' name and rebuke the devil in Jesus' name and not give in to the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, but take on the heart of God and be a follower of Jesus Christ, who said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. It's going to mean sacrifice. It's not always going to be what you want. It's going to be holding back when you want to go forward with something, or it's going to be going forward with something when you want to hold back. And that's why we've got to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit and careful and discerning when other advice comes in. Prayerful and discerning. And so here Ahab wants nothing to do with truth. He wants what he wants. And he wants to hear what he wants to hear. And so he says, yeah, there's this one guy. Notice how he wasn't initially invited. But all, yeah, you know, he hates, you know, I hate him because he doesn't prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Evil in Ahab's eyes. Evil because it didn't get Ahab what he wanted. And that's why it was evil to him. But the truth of God is never evil. It's always good. Even when it doesn't seem good to us. And so we hear from God. We hear the truth, whether we like it or not. And go, God, you know best. Your way is the best way because you are Yahweh. And so I'm going to follow you in Jesus' name. And I'm going to die to self. And I'm going to find that there's joy in that, fullness of joy. And there's fellowship with other believers who are doing the same thing and encouraging me to do so. And I'm going to be free from practicing sin, and I'm going to have an assurance of salvation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. Jehoshaphat knows. Now, come on, king, that's not the right thing to say here. Then the king of Israel, verse 9, called an officer and said, bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly. Let's get this over with. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, having put on their robes, sat each on his throne. At a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, which is the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, and all the prophets prophesied before them. So you picture the scene. All these prophets that they brought together. They're outside. The crowd's watching. These prophets are getting animated. Oh, you're going to destroy! They're being very patriotic, if you will. Go get them! We're Israel! And the flags are flying. Verse 11, now Zedekiah, the son of had made horns of iron for himself. This guy really went all out. And he said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Assyrians until they are destroyed. And I lost my place after that. Verse 12, and all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. Yes, I just picture this guy, you know, at the blacksmith, king, king, making his horns of iron. This is going to be so cool. I'm going to go in front of the king. He's going to think I'm so awesome. All those people are going to go, wow, what a great prophet with his cool object lesson, you know. Watch my object lesson, everybody. This is awesome. And so there he is, kind of in the pride of life here, ready to go and tell a lie. But it's funny because he doesn't know he's telling a lie, as we're going to find out here in a second. Verse 13, then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement. And there's always this pressure when you are a messenger of God. And the pressure is, Go with the crowd. Go with what everybody else is saying. And our response has to be the same as Micaiah's response. And Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak." And that has to be true of us too, friends. Whatever the Lord speaks to us, that we speak. Whether it's in front of a hostile crowd, or it's going against what's popular, or what's patriotic even, whatever the Lord says, we've got to speak it. And it will cost us to speak the truth. It will. But we've got to do it in the name of God, in the name of what He stands for and who He is, which is truth, right? He's the light. He's not darkness. He's not deception. And it's the pride of life and it's fear that makes us want to go with everybody else, you know? Just go along with the crowd. Let's just not make waves. Man, these are two kings, two kingdoms. They're sitting there with all their pomp and glory around all these prophets and all these people. And everybody's getting, you know, excited to go fight and kill and win and get back. And there you're being told something different. And you got to go in front of everybody and say, "Yeah, well, I hate to burst everybody's bubble here, but this is what God really says." And so verse 15, "Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, 'Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall we refrain?' And he answered him, 'Go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king.'" Now, I'm not sure what's happening here with Micaiah, whether he is caving, whether he, you know, at first is resolved to speak the truth of the Lord and then shows up and sees all the people and sees the kings and sees all the prophets and going, "Man, this is not going to bode well for me. And so I think I'll just kind of go along," you know, and he falls to temptation. Or if he's being sarcastic here and he's making it very obvious to the king that he's being sarcastic, not sure. But God, you know, these prophets are human, guys. They're human like you and I. And they feel like we might think, "Well, that's easy for him. He was this great prophet of God." No, he was human, just like Elijah, who got so depressed that he would lay down and an angel even made food for him and had to wake him up and say, "Eat for strength." And he just ate and then went back to sleep. I'd be like, "An angel just appeared to me and fed me." And he was so bummed, he didn't even care. You know. And so these guys were human, like you and like I. But they had God, just like you and I have God. And so, verse 16, "So the king said to him, 'How many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?'" So the king knew that he was not being straightforward with him. And so he speaks the truth in verse 17. "Then he said, 'I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, "These have no master. Let each return to his house in peace.'" So what he saw from the Lord is that King Ahab would die in battle and be defeated. This is it for you, buddy. You're the shepherd of Israel, and you're going to be dead, and the sheep will be scattered and without a shepherd. You can imagine how Ahab reacts to this. "And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'Did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?' Then Micaiah said, 'Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne.'" Micaiah is now having a vision of the heavenlies. "And all the host of heaven standing by on his right hand and on his left." Just like in the book of Job. Remember in the book of Job when all the host of heaven came before God, including the devil, there in the presence of God. And God says to the devil, "Have you considered my servant Job, that he's upright in all his ways?" Rubbing it in his face. You know? And then it plays out from there. Well, this is a similar situation. The Micaiah sees the host of heaven. He sees, it says here, he sees the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by on his right hand and on his left, which makes us think of the sheep and the goats, right? When God separates the sheep from the goats and the sheep are on his right hand. And he says, well done, my good and faithful servant, into the joy of the Lord. And then the goats are on his left. And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And so the good and the bad, those who have Jesus Christ and those who do not, those who believe and those who do not. And it's the right hand and the left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? Notice how they're all there in heaven gathered together, and they're all aware of what's happening on earth. And they're interested, and they want to be involved in what's happening on earth. There's something about us humans that intrigue the heavenly hosts, whether good or bad. Remember when Peter said to Jesus, not so, Lord, when Jesus said, I'm gonna die on the cross and suffer and then rise again. He said, not so, Lord, what's going to happen to you? And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, for you are mindful of the things of man rather than the things of God. And so there's this fascination with humanity, and it's us. We're the battleground. We're what's being battled over between the forces of darkness and the forces of light. It's the souls of men. And so, anyway, he says, who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. People are coming before God Almighty, not these angels and demons, and they're giving suggestions of how this can be done. So fascinating to me. Verse 21, then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit. Oh, we know who that's from. We know who that's of. In the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. So this spirit comes from the Lord. Nothing happens on earth without God's stamp of approval first. And so this lying spirit comes from the Lord. But the lying spirit is not of the Lord. We need to understand the difference there. From, right, implies an origin. I am traveling from Anaheim to New York. My origin, my starting point is Anaheim. That's the place where I'm starting. And then my end point is New York, right? And so from implies an origin, a place of starting. And so this spirit is from the Lord. He was in the presence of God. He says, I will lie. And God says, okay, go ahead and you will prevail. But God is not a liar. And there's no untruth in him. And we've read about that in 1 Kings, and we see that in the life of Jesus. And we know that God is truth, and that the devil is a liar and the father of lies. And so this spirit is of the devil. And when I say of, that implies possessive structure. It means when I say it means that it's owned. Right? God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That means that I am their God. And then he says that I will be their God and they will be my people. So the opposite is true as well. They are the people of God. So he's God of those people, the children of Israel and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they are the people of God. They're owned by him. And so this word of, we think of math word problems, and my wife pointed this out to me when we were talking about this. Math word problems. Of means multiply. There's a multiplication there. There's an extension of self, a replication of self. And so to be of God means to be replicated by him. It means to be reflective of him. It means to be like him and to take on his character. And so this spirit is not of God, even though it's from God. And every spirit is not of God, we read about in 1 John. Every spirit is not reflective of him, does not reflect his character and who he is. And so we've got to be careful to distinguish between the two when we're reading the word and make sure that we know, we can discern whether something is of God or not of God. Now, the interesting thing about this story is even though God in the heavenlies said to this lying spirit, yeah, go ahead and you'll prevail, what does he also do? He sends Micaiah to speak the truth. He's not going to let people just be outright deceived. But he's going to say, no, here's truth. And I'm going to send my servant Micaiah to go and speak truth and to tell people what is truth. And so there is a choice there. And Ahab and Jehoshaphat can listen to the lying spirit or listen to the spirit that's of God, the Holy Spirit, who has spoken to Micaiah and is now saying, here's the truth. And why is God doing that? Because he loves them. That's why. And so verse 24, now Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way did the Spirit from the Lord go from me to speak to you? So this guy that's full of pride that made these horns of iron here gets upset with Micaiah and slaps him. And that's what they did to Jesus too for speaking truth. And that's what they'll do to us for speaking truth. But we must speak the truth. Not be afraid of these things, because God's with us. He's always with us. And Micaiah said, indeed, you shall see on that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide. So the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and water of affliction until I come in peace. In other words, I'm going to go out to war anyway. I'm not going to listen to this guy. And you just watch. I'm coming home. I'm going to live. But Micaiah said, if you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, take heed, all you people. Listen, this is truth. And he chastises them for not believing the truth, but instead getting caught up in the emotions of, yeah, this is what we're going to do, the pride of life. And so I'm not going to read the rest of the story. You can read it on your own. But I'll summarize that Ahab indeed, he tries to outwit the Lord. Good luck. And I don't know why Jehoshaphat went along with this business, but he dresses Jehoshaphat up like himself. Here, Jehoshaphat, you dress like me, and then we'll go out to battle. Okay, that sounds like a great plan to me. What in the world is he thinking? Trying to please his father-in-law, whatever. But anyway, a random arrow that is just, you know, random, gets shot by the enemy and it lands between the joints of Ahab's armor and strikes him with a mortal blow. And he returns to Israel dead in his chariot full of blood. And there's more to that story that's really fascinating, so I encourage you to read it. But the point was to really get that vision into heaven and what's happening in the heavenlies. And that even though this lying spirit came from the presence of God and was from God, it doesn't mean that the spirit is of God. And so a spirit can come from God and from the presence of God that is not of God, or it can be of God. And there's examples of that on both sides in the Bible. But when it says that the spirit is of God, then we know it's a good spirit with truth to be told. And so we need discernment, don't we? How can we tell the difference between these lying spirits and the ones that are really of God and speak truth? And that's why God gave us His Word. And so the Word of God, if something is contrary to the Word of God, if there's a teaching that's contrary to the Word of God, we don't believe it. We go, wait, God doesn't contradict Himself. That's a lie. This is the truth. And that's our starting point. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We read that, right, a couple chapters ago. Remember how we talked about the book of 1 John being written kind of this in the spiral so that He'll tell a truth and then He'll tell other things and then He'll come back around and hit that same truth again, just a little different or a little deeper or whatever, different angle, and then He'll leave it and come back. And so we've got this spiraling and we've come back. We talked about false teachers. We talked about Hitler and Antichrist. We're back. This is where we are again in the book of 1 John. So let's go back to 1 John chapter 4 and go through this section very quickly, because really the heart of what I think the Holy Spirit wants to say this morning has been said, which is we need to listen to God and we need to be discerning of what's truth and not truth. And we got to know that our flesh wants to hear what it wants to hear, but it might not be truth. We've got to let go of the flesh and walk according to the Holy Spirit and seek after truth and be lovers of truth and go, you know what? No matter what my flesh wants, I'm going to put that aside and I'm going to seek God. You know? Think about all the decisions we made that were in the flesh that got us into trouble, maybe into debt. Man, I can think of quite a few right now that I've made. Wow, this car is awesome. It really drives well. I like it. And you know, we just have to be careful is all I'm saying, and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Now, I also like to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we get this list of spiritual gifts. And one of those, there's words of knowledge, right? Words of wisdom and of knowledge. But there's also listed there discerning of spirits. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit to discern whether something, some spirit, some message, someone is of God or of the devil. Coming from, it's of the wrong thing. Not reflective of God, but reflective of the devil. And some people have a gift that is beyond just the normal gift of the Holy Spirit that we all have, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to help us with these things. And so in order for the body of Christ to function properly, in order for our church body, the church, the congregation here, Calvary Chapel Anaheim, to function properly, we need all the gifts of the Holy Spirit at work as much as is possible. And so every part does its share. And I get up here and I study the Word of God and I present the Word of God through the gifting of the Holy Spirit that's in me. And that's my part. And that's my share. If I'm trying to be everything, I am not the body of Christ. I am one part of the body of Christ. The nail on the pinky finger or whatever. And all of you are other parts as well. And so we need all kinds of giftings. Right? Rich came up to me during the meet and greet and said, hey, brother, the gift that God showed me that I have is to serve, and I just want to serve, and how can I serve? What a blessing. And other people have gifts of hospitality, right? And other people have this gift or that gift. And there's also the gifts that we look at and go, wow, that's more supernatural, but they're all supernatural, whatever it is. But there's gifts of wisdom, gifts of knowledge, and there's gifts of the discerning of spirits. And we need you. If God has given you that gift, and you, let's just say you run into someone, or you go to a Bible study group, and you're there, and you're like, this is not of God. Guess what? We need you to do. We need you to speak the truth in love. We need you to come to the leadership and say, this is not of God. This is not of God.
I have a discerning of spirits here, or this is contrary to the word, and you just know it. I'm not saying to be a sin sniffer, flesh finder, and throw away grace, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that we need people who in love, oh, the love of God, and in the spirit of grace can step forward and they can say, this is happening, it's not of God. Or they can say, you know what, this thing that's happening even in the news or in today, this isn't of God. And we saw it in action in the book of Acts, the discerning of spirits. We saw the Apostle Paul who was followed by this demon-possessed woman but didn't even realize she was demon-possessed for 3 days because she was saying, hey, listen to these guys. They have the Lord. They have salvation. And she kept saying it over and over. It's like annoying. And then finally he realized this woman's demon-possessed. And he cast out the demon and everything was good. But you see, there's this discerning of spirits, what's of God and what's not. And we need that. We need people with a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, motivated by love, working in love. And so it says here, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. There was a teaching at the time called Gnosticism, and in Gnosticism they denied that anything material was good, including the physical body. And so they actually taught that Jesus Christ was not material, that he was like this phantom illusion of material, or else he would be bad, and he didn't come in the flesh, which is a false teaching, because the Bible teaches us that he was our high priest, and that he came in the flesh. And Paul explains this in Romans chapter 5, the need for him to be a man like Adam was a man, so that he could be our federal head, right? Adam, when he sinned, we inherited that sin. He represented us in his sin, so sin and death were passed down to us. Jesus Christ, he represented us in death, and he represents us in life. So we die with him and we are raised with him and we have the hope of heaven, of eternal life. And so Jesus had to come not as a phantom, not just as God, but as man, as flesh and as blood. And so a false teaching of that time would have been that Jesus did not come in the flesh. And false teachings just come around. Oh, there it is again. Oh, there it is again. Might look a little different, sound a little different, but it's there. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. We've seen it raise its ugly head again and again and again. We talked about it with Hitler. There was Napoleon. There are all these guys that just wanted to conquer the world. And one of these times when it's the Antichrist in the last days, the devil will have success at this. He just keeps trying and testing and testing. Is it time? Is it time? And God goes, no, not yet. No, not yet. Crush that one. One day it will be the time. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who's them? It's these spiritual beings behind the false prophets. That's the them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. If you leave with nothing else today, leave with that. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, he comes inside of you and he is great. Without him, you're toast. One angel killed 185,000 people in one night in the Bible. You get a bad one? Do you have a chance? You do not. But if you have Jesus living inside of you, you are much more powerful than that demon power. And Jesus has authority and has given us authority over those evil spirits so that we can say with confidence and with power, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. You must go. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. They are of the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. They're going to be reflective of the dominant world culture, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. They're going to hear the word, the gospel message as we present it, as we go out. They're going to hear it. They're going to hear what the Apostle John's writing here. We're going to go, yes, yes, that's truth. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. By this. And so the people who receive the gospel message and receive what the Bible has to say are of God, and those who do not are of the devil. They're of the spirit of error. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you so much for the truth of your scriptures. We thank you that you love us enough to tell us truth and to always present truth. Even when the devil and demons want to come and lie and deceive, Lord, only those who want to be lied to, who want to be deceived, and who want to believe what is going to be good for their flesh and whatnot, Lord God, they will believe the enemy's lies. But if we are filled with your Holy Spirit, if we are more interested in the things of God than the things of man, if we are ready to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow you, then we will discern truth. If we are willing to do the will of the Father, then we will be able to discern truth. And as you, your Holy Spirit, lives in us, we will be able to discern truth. If we're looking to the Word of God, we will be able to discern truth. And if we have people among us who have the gift of the discerning of spirits and are willing to step forward in faith and exercise that gift with grace and with love to edify the body, then we will have the tools that we need to not be deceived, but to walk in the truth. And so we ask by your great love and by your great grace that you would do that, Lord God, and that we would study the Word so that we would not be deceived, Lord. So we thank you, Father, for this message today. We pray, Lord, that you would just bless our time now as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. May the God of all comfort comfort you this week. May he bring blessing to you, to your heart, and may he bring his peace. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful week in the Lord.